just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It's Friday. It's been a long week. No indictments as yet, but don't worry. They're coming. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about in this particular podcast, so I'm excited to get through this. Now, I'm starting this podcast off with emails, as I commonly do. When I initially set things up, I had two emails. Looking forward to reading them to you. And then just a bit ago, I got a third email. I decided to check if any more came in, and darned if one didn't come in. And I'm particularly excited about this email because almost every email I get on this show, it's all very positive, very supportive. Nobody's mad at me, but not on this one. This guy steamed at me. So I was excited about reading this. It's coming from a gentleman by the name of Peter, or Pete. This is what he says. Recently, you did a podcast about how you were such a man against the mechanic and purported to know something about internal combustion engine. For Christ's sake, Mike, a fuel pump has nothing to do with a cooling system. Fuck, ask your nephew. I like your political talk. However, you have crossed the line and owe an apology to all mechanics worldwide for your dumbass ways. Love, Pete. Now, I don't know. I have to go back and listen to the tape. I don't know that I said fuel pump. Maybe I did accidentally. Of course, what I meant was water pump, Pete, which would have everything to do with the cooling system. So if I made that mistake, I apologize about that mistake. But to mechanics, or this particular mechanic, fuck you. Not apologizing. Let me tell you how this went down. I went in there, and I told you, this gentleman told me that we needed a water pump, not a fuel pump, a water pump, and a cooling fan, even though the cooling fan had been replaced a couple of years ago, and they don't go that often. And then he gave me a quote for both these things of $1,900. Now, I don't need to be incredibly bright to understand that that is fucking ridiculous. That is a scam waiting to happen. So I said, fuck yourself. I'm towing this shit out of there. And I did. And I took it to my nephew. Now, when I took it to my nephew-in-law, actually, he looked it over and he said, well, you do need a water pump. I said, cool. That's what I figured. That's where the leak seemed to be coming from. I didn't have to be a mechanic to recognize that. I said, what about the fan? How's the fan looking? And he said, the fan's working fine. I said, oh, really? The fan is working fine, except the mechanic, who I'm supposed to apologize for, told me the fan was bad. Now, why might he do that? Did he make a mistake, or is he trying to fucking take me for a ride? I rather think the latter. So anyway, I had my nephew-in-law fix it. Parts were about $200. I paid him money for labor, and it was well under $1,000. More like $600, something like that. Now granted, he is my nephew-in-law. He got me a deal. But the difference between $600 and $1,900 is significant, Pete. Wouldn't you agree? Now, you think I should go back to that mechanic and apologize, maybe because I made a slip of the tongue. It was about the cooling system. It was about the water pump, not the fuel pump. If I made that mistake, cool. But fuck you, Pete. I don't give a shit what you think. I like your political talk. However, you cross the line and owe an apology to all mechanics worldwide for your dumbass ways. No, Pete, you're a dumbass. And the fucking mechanic I talked to was a fucking crook. So fuck you both. I hope you're pleased with that. All right, let's get back to some normal emails. I love that when people send me hate emails. I never get them here on the Rational Boomer podcast. So as soon as I saw it, I go, oh, I got to fucking read that. I got to fucking read that. Hope you're happy, Pete. Hope you're cool. You like my political talk? If you don't want to listen, I don't care. Really, don't care. If you're more, why don't you go find a podcast about automotive repairs? You seem to be a fucking genius at it, so check that out. Or maybe you want to come on the show at some point, show us your expertise in, well, fucking anything. All right, enough of that. This next email comes from Jen. This is getting to the ridiculous point. Are Americans being punked? Is this some joke? This case is 7 years old, plenty of time to have all the evidence needed, and yet every day it gets put off. It's making a mockery of our system, and also making it look like they are playing into DT's madness. Why are these officials scared of this idiot? Even his following is getting smaller and smaller. It's insane, and all these cases against him. If it were anyone else, we would be moving forward. Just ranting, but so frustrated, Jen. Now, if this was anybody else, I would say, just cool your fucking jets. Relax. You know, it's happening. Just because it's not happening at your speed doesn't mean there's anything wrong. Stop being so negative about this shit. Now, I won't do that. I happen to know Jen. I happen to know she's a woman of probably around my age. And I happen to be married to a woman of around my age. And what I've learned in all that time was when they get like that and they're mad, just let them talk. Don't try to interrupt. Don't cause problems. And just respect the fact that they're frustrated. So, Jen, I do respect the fact that you're frustrated. I share some of those frustrations. But don't worry. Don't worry. It's not happening fast enough for anybody, but it's going to happen. In fact, it looks like a perfect storm is forming. We got 3 or 4 investigations, 3 legal entities looking to converge on this one dumb fuck Donald Trump. It's going to come, and it's going to be glorious. You just have to trust me here, Jen. Just hold on a little bit longer. And next time you want to vent, feel free. I've got a lot of experience with this, and I can handle it. And since I know you, and since you've been on the show and sent emails before, I know who you are. I know what you're like. I love all my listeners. I love Jen, her husband. And so feel free to vent like that anytime. It doesn't hurt my feelings. It doesn't upset me. Unless you call me a dumbass, then I'm going to fucking hit back. But now, Jen, you could call me a dumbass. My wife calls me a dumbass all the time, so I'll learn to deal with it. It's just something about Pete that set me off. All right, the last email I have comes to me from Gary, the oldest boomer. You know him. He's had some other emails here. Hi, Mike. After listening to your podcast today with Ed, I want to share with you my personal theory about what Trump has on the GOP members. I have developed this theory beginning before the 2016 election. I would like your opinion if you see some validity to my thoughts or if you think I'm full of shit from Donnie's diaper. Trust me, I'll tell you. My thoughts are based on a lot of things that have come directly from Trump, as I think he always spills the beans and is his own worst enemy. Prior to the 2016 election, he complained repeatedly that Obama was spying on him at Trump Towers. In fact, it was revealed that the FBI was spying on Trump Towers, but on some of his prominent tenants, the Russian mafia. The Russian mob, a.k.a. Putin, had several floors of the towers from which they ran their operations in the U.S. Now we have the connection between Trump and Russia, Russia, Russia. Oh, yeah, he's well connected to Russia. Then during the campaign, I remember Donnie Jr. making the pronouncement that they get all their money, all the money they need, from Russia. My theory jumps from these facts to guess that Donnie was spreading around Russian mob money. the GOPers in Congress to support their campaigns or whatever. He was giving it to them. I can't believe any GOPer in Congress would want to be tied to the Russian mob money. So now Donnie holds that over their heads. This is just my educated guess as to why they're all right up his ass. Your opinion, please. Am I onto something, or am I full of Donnie Dew? Thanks again for your daily dose of sanity. I really enjoy your daily wisdom and humor. Gary, the oldest boomer. Well, Gary, it's a matter of, are you onto something, or are you on something? No, I think you might have a good point, actually. We know Donald Trump is neck deep with Russians. And we know Donnie Trump has had a tendency to spread money around with politicians, including Hillary Clinton. And since Donnie Trump doesn't have the ability to actually earn money because he fucks up every time he tries, it wouldn't be surprising that he didn't spread around some Russian money. We know he's getting a lot of money from Russia. Could that be something he's holding over their head? Well, yeah, definitely. Because think about the politicians. If Donnie come to them and said, look, here's my friend. He's Russian or made up another country. He wants to give you money. How many of them are going to turn it down? None. So Don might have kind of set up a little sting thing. Here's some money. You want the money. They take the money and they go, uh-oh. That's Russian money. Now they're under Donald Trump's thumb henceforth. I think there's more to it, though, but I think you're on the right track. I think everything he has on members of Congress involves money and illegal ways they obtain this money. And certainly Russia's going to play a huge part in it. Donald Trump sold his soul to Vladimir Putin, took as much money as he could get, and then tries to tell us he's not connected to Russia at all. Well, we know that's absolute bullshit. The evidence shows that he's connected to Russia. You know, I said this to Ed on the podcast yesterday, and I likened this situation with the Trumplafucks, or the Republicans, and Donald Trump. I told a story about when I was young, like in junior high school, And I had this girlfriend. She ended up being kind of crazy, you know, very jealous, very loud, and just a little crazy. And you date somebody and you have secrets and intimacy. And when I say intimacy, I'm just talking about just connections. And you know a lot about them. They know a lot about you. And then the time comes, you're in junior high, you're not going to stay together forever unless you're a Republican and you're cousins, but not in this case. I was neither. And so you break up, and she's not taking it very well, okay? And you just know that this person, it could be a man or a woman, I'm sure we both genders have experienced this, you know that it doesn't take much to set them off. And if you do set them off, they don't think it's all emotional, and they are going to spew everything. They are going to scorch the earth and burn every bridge. And while you maybe didn't do something illegal, they're going to do something to try to embarrass you. So instead of inflaming the situation, you kind of soft shoe it around them. You try to be nice to them, just to keep them quiet, not to embarrass you at some point. And I think that's what's happening with Donnie Trump. I think he has a lot of things on a lot of people. I think a lot of people don't have any idea that if he has any things on them, but they're guilty about the shit they've done, so they're not taking any chances. Donald Trump is a wild card. He's a fucking madman wild card, and these people are afraid he's going to blow them up in front of the public. Let's be honest. These people can't make it through some of the scandals that Donald Trump made it through. If they get exposed for any little thing they do, it's going to be a problem for them. And to be perfectly honest, this is Donald Trump's modus operandi. He gets things on people. He holds it over their head. He tries to force them to do his bidding. This is his regular MO. And where did he get that from? from the lawyer, Cohen, who was McCarthy's lawyer. But this guy was a despicable human being, and he taught Donald Trump well. And some say that Donald Trump taught Jeffrey Epstein this very same trick of blackmail. In fact, you can't figure out how Jeffrey Epstein made all this money, but you know he had a lot of tapes and a lot of blackmail. You get a billionaire in there doing something untoward, you get some video of it, and it's amazing how quickly you can extract money from this fuck. So I think you're onto something there. I think it might be even bigger than that, but I don't know. Clearly, the Trumplafucks are scared to death of Donald Trump. They don't want to rile him up. You know, the other thing is, even if he doesn't have something on a particular person, that person wants to step lightly too. Because if he can't blow them up personally, he has the ability, and probably will anyway, blow up the whole fucking party. You'll blow up the whole fucking party and everybody's out of business. They're just scared to death because he's a wild card. They don't know what he's going to do, so they just fucking lay low and let him get away with shit that he gets away with. That time is going to come when it changes, when he's beaten down too far, and people will start getting brave, and then watch how tough they look and watch all the things they say. They'll be kicking Donald Trump's ass after it's over. It's real easy to pound on somebody once he's already wounded. And in the not-too-distant future, Jan, he'll be wounded, he'll be indicted, he'll be so wrapped up in legal affairs he won't know what the fuck to do. And then all these people that have been cowing from him will be jumping in. It'll be what's it called? Children of the Corn or Lord of the Flies? It'll be something like that. They'll all gang up on him, and it'll be a fucking horror. Actually, it'll be kind of entertaining for some, but for the Trumplafucks, it'll be a horror. All right, thanks for the emails. Pete, thanks for the email. Love you, too. And it's water pump. Fuck you. All right. This first story is really interesting because it's happening today. And it is something you don't see very often. Now, writing for the New York Times on Thursday, reporters have revealed that Donald Trump's lawyer, Evan Corcoran, will be testifying today in front of the DOJ regarding the classified documents. Now, you remember how this story went. We've talked about it. When the National Archives asked Donald Trump for all the classified documents back, of course, Donald Trump did give some of the classified documents back, but then the archives said, nah, we think he got more. Well, then Evan Corcoran wrote up an affidavit, a sworn affidavit, saying we did a diligent search and there is no more classified documents. Thinking he's smart, he said, I wrote that, but Christina Bob, the other lawyer, why don't you sign it? It'll look better. You have better writing. You have a better signature. So she signs it. Now, the problem is the National Archives and the FBI weren't buying that bullshit, so they execute a search warrant. And guess what they find? They find a whole shitload more classified documents. So now Evan Corcoran and Christina Bob have lied to the DOJ, and that's a no-no. That's prison time. So Jack Smith says, I want Evan Corcoran to testify. And Evan Corcoran says, I can't. I'm his attorney. We have attorney-client privilege. And Jack Smith, being a smart guy, said, well, that's true. But if you were involved in a crime, then that attorney-client privilege is waived. You must testify. They took it to court. They lost. They appealed it. They lost. Now he's got to show up today. Now, a lot of people are thinking, okay, Evan Corcoran's going to show up, but he's going to be pleading the Fifth Amendment. Guess what? The information is that he will not be pleading the Fifth, and here's why. If he pleads the Fifth, he's acknowledging that he's guilty. Now, there's two ways Evan Corcoran and Christina Bob can play this situation. They can say they were part of the crime, and yes, we knew there wasn't a diligent search, but we did it anyway just to save Donald Trump. Or they can say, well, you know, Donald Trump told us that this was the case, and we just believed him. He was a client. He's a former president. Of course we believed him, even though we all know he's a pathological liar. So if he says that Donald Trump instructed him to do it, then he's less culpable for lying to the DOJ. He's still got some issues there, but the DOJ can come in and say, look, we could take you to task. We could take you down tomorrow. Nobody would give a fuck. But if you didn't knowingly sent this off, it was just Donald Trump telling you that, and I doubt that's the case. I'm sure he knew just as well as Donald Trump did. But they're giving him an out here. And this out may involve him throwing Donald Trump under the bus. Now, it's one thing for a witness to throw Donald Trump under the bus. But when it's his lawyers in an unprecedented situation where they waive the attorney-client privilege, well, that's pretty damning. And that testimony is happening today. Now, it's in the grand jury, so we won't necessarily know what's going on or what he says. But something else to consider is if you understand how the investigations go, they start with the lowest common denominator, the lowest people involved in this thing, and they work themselves up. Well, they're now at Donald Trump's attorney. Not much closer than that. You can't get much closer than that. And that would tell us the investigation, at least with regards to the classified documents, is nearly done. So it's conceivable that after they interview Evan Corcoran, Donald Trump's lawyer, they might be ready to issue some indictments. Think about this. And this is theory. I have no facts to back this up. So call me a Republican, if you will. But think about this. The Manhattan District is just about getting ready to issue an indictment. And like Jen said, they're slowing it down for some reason. Why would they do that? Some people would think, well, Alvin Bragg's just getting cold feet. He's a chicken. I don't think that's the case. He wouldn't have taken it this far if he wasn't going to issue an indictment. But what if, and I talked about this with Ed, what if there's some strategizing working between, say, Fannie Willis, Jack Smith, and Alvin Bragg? Now, for the Stormy Daniels indictment to come out first, that's kind of a weak start. And I don't know if that weakens other indictments or not, but it seems like out of place for that weak one to come out. Now, Alvin Bragg's ready to throw the indictment. What if Jack Smith says, you know what? Hold on a few days. Hold on a week. I'm going to get him first, take him down, and then your indictment will be easy. He'll be too busy with ours, and he won't be able to fuck with you. That's a possibility. I mean, if you look at it logically, that would make more sense. Now, I don't know if any of that is true, but it's something to think about. So Corcoran is set to testify to the grand jury in D.C. over the theft of the documents the former president is accused of snatching upon leaving the White House. Now, special counsel Jack Smith has worked his way through a number of witnesses around Trump and Mar-a-Lago. Remember, he pulled a bunch of people in, part of the administration, people at Mar-a-Lago. And he knows that the documents were shifted around. We know that after they were there, the National Archives, the first time, there's video footage of them moving the documents as if they are hiding these documents. So that's a little fishy. Now, in the case of Trump's lawyer, it's incredibly rare, as I said, for attorney-client privilege to be broken, but in this case, four judges agreed that it would be a result of a crime being committed. Think about that. That's not past tense. That's present tense. And as I said to Ed, it's conceivable that there is a crime still going on. Well, what might that crime be? That crime could be that they still have documents hidden someplace. That would be an ongoing crime. Or it could be that Donald Trump has already distributed some of these documents to adversarial countries, or anybody for that matter. We know that there was a laptop. Documents were copied onto the laptop, and then there were thumb drives in the computer, and those documents were then transferred to a thumb drive. Now, why would you do that? Well, it sounds like you'd want to give them to somebody. So maybe Jack Smith has some inside evidence that shows Donald Trump has already distributed these things, even further risking the security of this country. That might explain the urgency that they were dealing with this. I mean, they wanted stuff the next morning. Judges stayed up all night so they could get this information. They seemed to be very concerned about this. They did some unusual things to get this done. And now Evan Corcoran, is going to testify tomorrow. Will that be the end? Is that the last piece, the last person they have to interview before they issue indictments? I got to be honest, Jack Smith's been moving along pretty quickly. He hasn't been there that long, but he's got a lot of shit done. He's deposed a lot of people, and he's right at the top of the food chain now with Donald Trump's lawyer. It's all speculation. But as I said, Jen, it's going to be kind of a perfect storm. And I have to wonder if they aren't trying to coordinate it as such. I mean, think about where we're at right now. We have the Manhattan District essentially ready now to issue an indictment. Fannie Willis sounds like she's very close too. And now the DOJ sounds like they're coming down to the end of the line. If you're all coming together at the same point and you're all ready to issue indictments, does it not make sense that the DOJ say, let us take the lead on this and you pick up the scraps and we'll just bury this motherfucker? I don't know. That's the way I would do it. But of course, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the difference between a fuel pump and a water pump. So what the fuck do I know? The extraordinary back and forth in the past several weeks between Mr. Trump's lawyers, Mr. Corcoran and his lawyers, and Mr. Smith's prosecutors, not to mention the multiple witnesses who were also Mr. Trump's lawyers as well as of their lawyers, because that's where Donald Trump's at now. His lawyers now have to have lawyers. This has turned the federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. into a bustling hive of Trump-related inquiries, the Times reported. The latest example came on Thursday when lawyers for Mr. Trump, including Mr. Corcoran, appeared before a new chief judge, James E. Boasberg, with lawyers for former Vice President Mike Pence. Now, they were there to discuss some issues related to Mr. Pence's testimony before a grand jury investigating Mr. Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. So in addition to this, with Evan Corcoran testifying today, presumably he would be the last person to testify unless they're going to force the issue with Mike Pence, then he would be the last guy. He would be the final closest guy to Donald Trump. So when they interview Evan Corcoran today, maybe they're ready to issue indictments, or maybe they're going to force Mike Pence in there to talk. Because make no mistake, Mike Pence is going to have to fucking come in and talk. He can talk all the shit he wants and the Constitution and all this other bullshit. He's going to talk. He's going to testify. He's not going to like it, but that's exactly what the fuck he's going to do. So this is all very interesting, and it's got to be concerning to Donald Trump and his legal team. A lot of things are happening, And as much as we're frustrated that an indictment hasn't been issued as yet, the pressure's on. I mean, how would you like to be a 76-year-old, overweight, white guy who eats nothing but McDonald's and have this kind of strain hanging over your head? All you have to do is look at his Truth Social post. Every one of them's in cap letters. So he's apparently screaming while he's back in Mar-a-Lago. But this guy's upset. He wants to attack everybody because that's all he really knows how to do. If someone is coming after him and they have a legitimate complaint and evidence to show that complaint, all he does is call names, make threats, and comes up with crazy conspiracy theories. And that's pretty much what he's doing now. He's like a trapped rat. He's in a corner. There is no way out. So he's flopping around, flipping around, trying to find a way out. But I'm here to tell you, at this point, with these legal organizations all bearing down on him, there is absolutely no way out. I will tell you this. We will have waited a long time for this to happen, but when it does happen, it's going to be incredibly satisfying. Trust me, Donald Trump's not walking away from this free and clear. He's going to get multiple indictments, and he's going to be so fucked up and mentally broken, he won't even be able to think about running for president of the United States in 2024. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, we've been all abuzz about the Manhattan District and the possibility of an indictment this week. Now, the grand jury was supposed to meet on Wednesday, and it was presumed that on Wednesday they might issue the indictment because it looked like they had interviewed all of the witnesses. And then all of a sudden, we hear that that Wednesday grand jury meeting was postponed. And then later that night, we heard, oh, okay, they're going to do it Thursday. But then Thursday comes and they say, yeah, we're not even going to meet this week. We're just not going to meet this week. Now, it's important to understand that the grand jury meets on Mondays and Wednesdays. So presumably, come Monday, they will meet and possibly some decisions made there. One thing you have to consider, though, if they do meet on Monday and they vote to indict Donald Trump, that doesn't mean you're going to hear about it Monday. Oftentimes, they don't release that until just before they grab a suspect. Now, I don't know that they're even going to grab this suspect, Donald Trump. I think the announcement will be made that he's indicted. He'll have a certain amount of days to surrender, and that will be that. I mean, the fact that he's a former president will have a lot of bearing on that. I've told you before, Donald Trump's excited at the prospect of a perp walk, but he's not going to get a perp walk. There is no reason in the world to create that kind of spectacle and cause possible violence. You know, another reason why they maybe didn't do it today over and above no reason at all, or that they're in cahoots with the DOJ, there may be another reason to it. Because Donald Trump announced this. He's, you know, the suspect doesn't announce when he's going to get arrested. He doesn't know fuck all about fuck all. But maybe Alvin Bragg is trying to slip it in quickly without people knowing, or at least a time frame when it's going to happen, so people don't have time to ramp up a violent attempt on the courthouse or whatever the fuck could happen. I don't honestly believe that's going to happen. I don't think they have the wherewithal to do it, and I don't think they have the courage to do it. But better safe than sorry, and that may be one of the reasons why Alvin Bragg hasn't announced it and given lead time for Donald Trump to become or brought into the courthouse in Manhattan. Again, I don't know. I have no inside track on that. All we can do is look at the circumstances and try to get some sense of what is going on. Now, keep in mind, And his Truth Social post, Donald Trump said, protest, 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 take our nation back. And there's been other things that he said where he's kind of insinuating, yeah, go in there and attack, fight for me, cause some violence. We know he did it on January 6, 2021, and now he's trying it again. Now, the interesting thing about Donald Trump and his imminent indictment in the Manhattan District, people are pretty upset about it, of course, Republicans. We had Tucker Carlson essentially begging Joe Biden to stop the indictment. It's going to hurt this country so much. It's going to make us so partisan. Really, motherfucker? The Republicans have made this a divided country for the last 6 years. And now you're worried about divisiveness? That's been your whole fucking platform. And then, who else was it? Lindsey Graham was imploring the DOJ, or maybe it was Alvin Bragg. Oh, please don't do this. Please don't do this. It'll damage our country. Motherfucker, you tried to overthrow this country, and now you're worried about damaging the country? I'm sorry, that seems a little disingenuous. Anyhow, Jim Jordan and some other fuckheads from the Congress decided they were mad at Alvin Bragg. How dare he indict our president? So Jim Jordan and some other Trump-la-fucks sent off a letter to Alvin Bragg, basically saying, we want you to testify. We want you to send us these documents. They thought they had something there. They thought the great power of Congress, the great power of Congress would make this DA in the Manhattan District just shrink and give in to him. It's the old bully ploy. Puff up your chest and act crazy and hope to God they give up. That's not been happening a lot to Republicans as of late. Nobody's given up. Everybody's pushing back, and it's not working well for the Trump-la-fucks. And in this situation, apparently Alvin Bragg's not one of these people that fall for that bullshit either. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's office responded to a demand for testimony from top House Republicans on Thursday, calling it an unprecedented intrusion into a local prosecution after former President Donald Trump created a false expectation he would be arrested this week. These people are all up in arms, and Alvin Bragg saying, I didn't even indict the motherfucker. You're just listening to Donald Trump, and you know Donald Trump is a pathological liar. Bragg's office added that complying with the Republicans' request would interfere with law enforcement and would represent an unlawful incursion into New York's sovereignty. Congress, the DA added, is not the appropriate branch to be reviewing a pending criminal case. Basically, Alvin Bragg's is saying, not your business. It ain't your business. You have no authority. You have no jurisdiction over a state judge, so fuck yourself. Trump claimed in a post on a social media site over the weekend that he'd be arrested on Tuesday in Bragg's investigation of the hush money payment. No indictment of Trump has been announced, as we know, and Bragg's grand jury, of course, canceled this week's meetings. Probably won't start up till next week. Now, in an extraordinary letter on Monday, the GOP chairs of the House Judiciary Committee, the House Oversight Committee, and the Committee on House Administration, all of which have been conducting an investigation into Trump's political enemies, accused Bragg of carrying out an unprecedented miscarriage of justice, even though no charges have been announced against Trump. So what they're bitching about is not the indictment, because there is no indictment yet. They're bitching about the audacity of this district attorney investigating Donald Trump. Well, this same court, the Manhattan District, a different DA at the time, convicted Michael Cohen of the very same crime that they're looking at for Donald Trump. And in Michael Cohen's case, Donald Trump was an unindicted co-conspirator. A co-conspirator would suggest he's working with Michael Cohen. And if we know Michael Cohen is already guilty, well, then Donald Trump's probably guilty and would certainly justify an investigation. So once again, the Republicans look stupid. The House of Representatives has become an absolute joke, at least on the Republican side of things. You are reportedly about to engage in an unprecedented abuse of prosecutorial authority. The indictment of a former president of the United States and current declared candidate for the office. This was from Representatives Jim Jordan, James Comer, and Brian Steele. They said that in the letter. If these reports are accurate, your actions will erode confidence in the even-handed application of justice and unalterability interfere in the course of the 2024 presidential election, the Republicans added. Bragg's office said Trump's lawyers are reportedly urged the lawmakers to intervene. So what's happening here, our House of Representatives, our Republicans in the House of Representatives, they're not even thinking for themselves. Trump's lawyers went to them and said, you need to do this, even though it makes no sense, it's unconstitutional, and it won't work because they have no authority. But because Trump's lawyers said, yeah, you need to do this. Who do you think told the lawyers to do this? Trump told the lawyers told the Republicans in the House of Representatives, and all of them are taking directions from a fucking dumbass, Donald Trump. Now, former Trump attorney Michael Cohen told Congress in 2019 that he arranged a $130,000 payment to Daniels on Trump's behalf. Trump then reimbursed Cohen with a series of payments during the first year of his presidency, according to Cohen, which is yet another crime because he's paying him back but writing it down as a retainer or something. It was a flat-out lie, and that is another crime. Republicans have given all sorts of excuses for Trump's payments. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, a top Trump ally, suggested this week that because Trump used his personal money to compensate Cohen and because the payoff occurred 7 years ago, he should be off the hook. I think in your heart of hearts, you know that, you know too, that you think this is political, and I think that's what the rest of the country thinks. That's what I love about these motherfuckers. Every time you hear from a Trump LaFuck or Donald Trump or one of the members of the House of Representatives, they say the same thing. The country doesn't care about this. The country does care about this. It's like they speak for the entire country, when in fact they only speak for maybe 27% of them. But they want you to believe everybody's thinking like this. Donald Trump does that all the time. Everybody's talking about this. Everybody's thinking about this, when it's absolute bullshit. Jim Jordan and all these fucks thought they were doing something. They thought they could go pressure a district attorney in Manhattan. Well, that didn't turn out too well, and they are going to get no satisfaction. And as I said, they have no authority, they have no jurisdiction, so what are you going to do now, motherfucker? Well, Donald Trump's back on track with his rallies. Former President Donald Trump's decision to hold a rally in Waco, Texas, is a blaring air horn to violent extremists to go to war in his name, wrote the editorial board of the Houston Chronicle on Thursday. This is what it said. The GOP-friendly city of Waco, Trump won McLennan County by more than 20 percentage points in 2020, has every right, of course, to host a former president, the leading contender for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination. But Waco, the symbol, has become an Alamo of sorts, a shrine for the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, and Oath Keepers, and other anti-government extremists. Waco helped spawn what Fort Worth writer Jeff Gwynne calls a legacy of rage in his new book about the Branch Davidian siege. You remember that? The Northeast Texas Regional Militia of Texarkana erected a granite headstone at the site that reads as follows. On February 28, 1993, a church and its members known as the Branch Davidians came under attack by ATF and FBI agents. For 51 days, the Davidians and their leader, David Koresh, stood proudly. As Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh put it, Waco started this war. And that's where Donald Trump decided to have his first rally for the 2024 election. You think that's a coincidence? I don't think so. This sends a clear message, the board wrote, just as it sent a clear message for Ronald Reagan to kick off his 1980 campaign in Philadelphia, Mississippi. The site of a gruesome 1964 murder of civil rights workers by the Ku Klux Klan and gave a speech invoking states' rights. Which is ironic. I don't remember that happening. I was pretty young at the time, about 20. But talking about states' rights. Here's a Republican president talking about states' rights. Why that's interesting is because whenever you talk about the Civil War to supporters of the Confederacy, they say it wasn't about slavery. It was about states' rights. They always try to shade the issue, but it was about state rights, but the right was to have slaves. So don't tell us it wasn't about fucking slaves, you dipshits. Now, militia members and conspiracy theorists know exactly what Trump's Waco visit symbolizes. All these redneck, toothless, dumb motherfuckers know exactly what he's trying to do here. They have heard him castigate the FBI and the deep state, particularly after agents searched for classified documents at his home, Mar-a-Lago. How they'll respond to this remarks, particularly if he shows up as the first former president in American history to face criminal charges, has law enforcement in Waco, and beyond taking every precaution. What he says will likely set the tone for the presidential campaign to come. Every American should be concerned. Now, I have to believe he maybe was hoping that he would get indicted before this rally. Mainly because if that had happened, he could have probably expected a bigger crowd than he's probably going to get. This would not be the first time, of course, Trump messaged directly to extremist groups. You know, he told the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by in a 2020 presidential debate. And a couple months after that, the group went on to storm the Capitol. Again, what a crazy coincidence. Americans should turn their back on whatever stunt Trump has planned. And he is going to have stunts. I've told you this before. As he gets pushed further in the corner and he has less way out, he is going to get crazy. And I have a feeling during this rally, we're going to hear some crazy shit. We're going to hear some innuendos to go out there and fight for Donald Trump, get violent and do all that shit. He's in the perfect spot to do it. He's trapped in a corner. He has really no other way out. All he can hope for is chaos and violence. That's what Donald Trump is all about. Now, earlier yesterday, the TikTok CEO, Xiaoji Chu, testified before the House Energy and Commerce Committee yesterday, with the hearing focusing on members' concerns that the app has data privacy issues, potential harms for children, in connection to the Chinese government. Some of the questions posed to Chu from lawmakers were slammed on social media as being technologically ignorant, one of which came from Representative Richard Hudson, a Republican from North Carolina. This was his question. Now, I'm an old man, and even though I know this is fucking stupid. Mr. Chu, does TikTok access the home Wi-Fi network? Chu said, well, only if the user turns on the Wi-Fi. I'm sorry, I may not understand the question. So he goes on, Hudson clarified by saying, so if I have the TikTok app on my phone and my phone is on my home Wi-Fi network, does TikTok access the network? What's the point? Chu said, it would have to access the network to get the connection to the internet, if that's the question. He was kind of confused at that point. Hudson then asked if it's possible that TikTok could access other devices on that home Wi-Fi network, to which Chu replied that the app doesn't do anything that is beyond industry norms. And I can attest to that. I use TikTok a lot. I haven't noticed anything untoward since using TikTok. And I've been using it every day, multiple times a day, for 2.5 years. The line of questioning sparked a wave of mockery on Twitter, with some marveling at how baffling it is that someone so technologically illiterate can be on a committee like this. We're veering into satanic panic levels with this TikTok obsession, one tweeter put out. Now, elected officials are the worst group of people to be conducting these because they don't have a clue. But every time, this is how it works. It's such a circus. It's probably not great that people deciding what platforms we do and don't get to use don't seem to understand the basics of how the internet works. Meanwhile, our legislative body continues to demonstrate why they are so ineffective at legislating. Yes, magazine senior editor Chris Winters tweeted that out. Seriously, does this guy not have any staff under 60 who can explain to him how the internet works? It's 2023. Just to say, Chris Winters, I'm 63. I know what's fucking up. But I also know that a lot of people my age don't know shit. They'll say to me, where did you get that? I said, well, I got it on Amazon. Oh, I don't shop on Amazon. Why not? I said, well, because I don't want to put my credit card on the internet. What could go down? What could happen? I don't know. What could happen if you walk into a gas station and hand your card to a pimple-faced kid who looks a little shady? What could happen there? As I told you, my wife had a situation where she did just that, handed a card to somebody in a gas station and then got a bunch of charges. We go back and we say, what the fuck is up? Well, I don't think my people would do that. Well, somebody did it, and it happened moments after I left your establishment. So instead of being so proud of your staff, maybe you should look into it, because if he did it one time, he's going to do it again. Anyway, here's another tweet. Congress is worried about an app being watched via Wi-Fi. Definitely an important topic to take a deeper look into. We must ban Wi-Fi, tweeted Austin Null. This is a serious topic worthy of serious conversations, tweeted, I won't say the name, just tweeted, a sitting member of Congress asking if a smartphone app uses home's Wi-Fi network to access the internet while at home. Ain't it? Anytime we have a congressional hearing on tech, this is how it goes. Just beat your head against the wall and nonsense questions from reps who don't possess the most basic understanding of anything they're talking about. A waste of time. Ain't that the truth? We've got people trying to decide whether or not they want to ban an app, and the people that want to ban the app don't have a fucking clue how the app works. All they know it is bad. It's bad. We gotta ban apps. But have all the guns you want, have all the ammo you want, carry those motherfuckers down the street. But that app, that's the thing that's dangerous. This is what we're dealing with in Congress. We're dealing with people that aren't very bright, certainly aren't current with their intelligence. This is why I've said so many times, it's time to get rid of the era of the old white man. get people that understand what the fuck a smartphone is, what the internet is, what a fucking app is. How can these people make a decision on something they know nothing about? Now, this one is an interesting story. And once again, Trump the fucks looks stupid. Attorneys representing five members of the Proud Boys who are currently on trial for charges of seditious conspiracy claimed on Wednesday that the Justice Department had informed them that one of their witnesses who prepared to testify as part of the defense was actually a government informant since 2021. A Proud Boy. In the mix with the Proud Boys, getting all the information. They wanted to call him as a witness, as support for their defense. But then the FBI had to say, yeah, well, he's working for us. Carmen Hernandez, an attorney for one of the five defendants, Zachary Rell, filed a motion on behalf of all the defendants seeking more details on the prosecutor's use of informants in the case. Hernandez revealed that the informant had been in contact with the defense team and at least one defendant through the telephone, text messaging, and other electronic means, and even attended a prayer meeting. Yeah, these motherfuckers have prayer meetings, with one of the defendant's families discussing the composition of the defense team at one point. Well, he's a fucking informant. What the hell do you think? Now, this trial is kind of stretched into its fourth month. It is the most significant to emerge from the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol. Prosecutors have charged Enrique Tarrio, the leader of the Proud Boys, Rell, and three others, including Ethan Nordine, Joe Biggs, and Dominic Pozzola, with igniting the attack, methodically working to breach multiple police lines, and ultimately entering the building to prevent Congress from certifying Joe Biden's election. Now, you'll remember that the Oath Keepers were in a similar trial, and there were at least two or three of them that were charged and convicted of seditious conspiracy. Now, if these Proud Boys get seditious conspiracy, and they probably will, that has some far-reaching implications, if you know what I mean. If they are involved in seditious conspiracy, the word conspiracy suggests there's other people involved. If they convict the people in these court cases of conspiracy, certainly there is a conspiracy between them. But that conspiracy has to stretch out even farther, because somebody had to plan this. Somebody had to strategize. Somebody had to fundraise. Somebody had to work on the transportation to get these dumb fucks to the U.S. Capitol. And if these folks get hit with seditious conspiracy, in addition to the Oath Keepers, that in itself may ultimately implicate sitting members of Congress. They may already know that. That may already be in their pocket. But you can see why they maybe have held off going after the members of Congress. The seditious conspiracy convictions will support anything those fucks did. All they have to do is look, did they talk to these seditious conspirators? What did they talk about? Might they be working in concert? You see what I'm saying? This case is important. If these guys are convicted of seditious conspiracy and the Oath Keepers were convicted of seditious conspiracy, that poses a lot of problems for Roger Stone, Mike Flynn, Clarence Thomas's wife, and sitting members of Congress. Take some time to formulate this and get this all set up and going, but trust me, it's going the right direction. It's going the absolute right direction. And you have to understand, when you've got prosecutors, they do kind of set things up so it all falls in place. They don't just do this haphazardly and just go and throw out indictments. There's definitely a plan to this, some kind of strategy to get as many people convicted as possible. And trust me, there are a lot of people that can be convicted. What are they convicted so far? 700 people, the dumb fucks that attacked the Capitol? Well, there's people above them, as we know, sitting members of Congress, the Trump administration, some of the outsiders like Roger Stone and Michael Flynn and some others. They're all going to get sucked into this. They're all going to get exposed. And these people that are going to jail, they are going to be the ones that throw them under the bus. And then you throw in the fact that there was an informant in the Proud Boys. Well, we know Roger Stone had some experience and time spent with Proud Boys and Oath Keepers. And don't you think the informant knows about that? How was Michael Flynn tied into it? How was Clarence Thomas's wife involved? It's all going to get exposed ultimately. We're going to know what the fuck happened. And it's all going to fall in place. And I can kind of feel it right now with these three legal entities honing in on Donald Trump. You have to understand it's not just all about Donald Trump. Take Georgia, for example. There are multiple indictments. The special grand jury told us that. It's not just Donald Trump. It could be Lindsey Graham. It could be Mark Meadows. It probably is Rudy Giuliani. And as the guy said down there in Georgia, it's going to be massive. And that would suggest that it's going to involve the president and people part of the administration. It's going to be massive. But that's only going to be one third of the massive mess that Donald Trump has to deal with. It's going to be Georgia. It's going to be New York. And it's going to be the DOJ. Donald Trump is going to be so buried with indictments and problems and lawsuits, he won't have time to take a shit, let alone run for president of the United States. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, he won't be the candidate, the Republican candidate for the presidency in 2024. There is absolutely no way. If somehow he got through this fucking mess, and he won't, but if he did, the Republicans don't want him as a candidate. He's only left to maybe run as a third party, and God bless him if he does, because he can't win, and he will destroy the odds for the Republicans. Not that the Democrats need the help, but why not hope for a fucking landslide as opposed to just a beating? Let them tell us there's election fraud when there's a fucking landslide. Show us how that happened. They couldn't prove 2020 had any election fraud. I can't believe they're still going to use that as a strategy, but what else do they have? They're going to get beat in 2024. There's too much shit coming out. The only thing left they have to do is try to discredit the election. And since we know how it worked the first time, there's no reason to believe it's going to work the second time. But that doesn't stop these dumb fucks. They just keep doubling down and tripling down. They're desperate, so they will try anything. All right, let's wrap things up for the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen. Just want to make one more comment about that email from Pete. Now, I want you to understand something. Don't hesitate to ever tell me I'm wrong. I have no problem with being wrong. I'm wrong all the time. My wife and kids point it out to me every day. Hell, my granddaughter points it out to me with some regularity. I don't have a problem with being told I'm wrong. But when you take a tone in the letter, trying to act as if you're a friend and you're just being a dick, that's too far. That's when I'm going to come out of the corner and wade into this shit. Now, maybe he was just trying to be funny, but Pete, it wasn't funny. And it's a little out of context when you put it onto an email. If you were talking to me, it might be a different deal. But you know what? Just don't come after me, because I'm going to go after you and then it's going to be a mess and it's just not worth all that shit. Anyhow, I hope you have a great day and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.